But when we did that, I asked the lady standing next to this boy if she would mind if he prayed for me. And do you know what happened? Anyone want to guess what happened when I asked her? Eli, have you heard this story?
No.
No, okay, go ahead.
She's like, I don't think I need to.
You do? Okay, we're gonna, moving quickly, moving quickly.
So she like screamed at you like, no.
Yeah, she did not. She did not scream at me and yell no. Anyone else have a guess as to what she did?
She said yes.
That would have been nice, right? She did not just say yes. What else would you think happened?
I don't know. She asked you to pray for him instead.
That's genius. That's not what happened either, but that's a really great idea. So she burst into tears and started bawling. And Greg was sitting next to me, and you know what he did? He was like,
oh, I did the eye roll.
My wife cannot meet anyone for 5 seconds, and then they start bawling. Like, what's wrong with my wife, right? And so she says to me, he can't talk. He has Down syndrome, and he can't speak, and so I have no way for him to pray for you. And out of my mouth, I just blurted out, it doesn't matter whether or not he can talk. If he would just lay his hands on me, yeah. I know that I would receive what God had for me to receive. And she's bawling because nobody's really seeing her grandson quite the way that I'm seeing. In fact, I even said to her, you see, I see who he is. And it would be my honor if he would pray for me. And so then we had to sit down and listen to the sermon, right? So I had to wait, you know, for this thing to happen. And then after the service, she stood up, and I stood up, and she was still, like, unsure. And she goes, oh, I don't know, you know, he doesn't talk. And I said, it doesn't matter. If God wants to give me something through your son, which was actually her grandson, God's going to give it to me. So I kind of just turned, and I looked at him. And I was standing, like, still I wouldn't stand close to him. I was standing, like, this close to him. And all of a sudden, his eyes became super clear. And so he was like, he understood me and saw me. Like, just see, they focused. And then I saw something really wild, because I was like standing this close. I felt like I saw Jesus standing with him, which really freaked me out. So I kind of like went down on my knees. Because I don't know, has anybody seen Jesus standing with somebody? I have never, to that point, seen that happen, and I've never seen it since. So I was really super overwhelmed. And so I kind of just went down to my knees, and then guess what? His hands were like right in my head. So I just took them and I put them on my head. And I just cried, and I didn't even know why I was crying. Have any of you ever, I'm sure this has never happened to you, have any of you ever cried and you have no idea why you were crying?
Yeah.
Yes? I know it happens to me sometimes too. I can't even explain to Mr. Greg why I'm crying. Yes. You have done that? You have done that. And so I kind of was down on my knees and his hands were on my head and I felt God say to me, and I just heard this kind of like inside my head. I heard God say to me, you have no idea what an honor it is for you to have this young man pray for you. Because he has this gift. And this gift that he is giving to you. And it is going to change millions of people's lives. And you are getting to receive a part of it. And I had no idea what it was. And so after I felt like, okay, I think it kind of happened, but I wasn't really sure, I kind of stood up and I looked in his eyes and I saw Jesus and him standing right in front of me. And then Jesus kind of stepped back, and his eyes became foggy, and he was back to himself. And we kind of said thank you, and by this time I think Mr. Greg was waiting in the truck, so, because he's like, what? And so we left, and I had no idea what it was that happened to me, but the next day, something happened to me. Anyone want to guess what it was? Because I'll give $5. Do you have $5?
I don't right now.
You've heard this story.
Somebody has $5. We'll bet somebody else's money.
Yeah, you can't guess.
No, you can't guess, darling.
But if you don't know, you can guess what happened to me the next day.
You saw God?
I know, right? That'd be so good. That's a super good guess. That's not what happened.
You
saw the boy again?
Nice, good guess. It did not happen. Anyone else?
Abraham, you can't play this game either.
I don't know if he knows.
I don't know.
I don't know if he knows.
Is that an angel?
Nice. Good guess, no. Yes.
You cried.
I cried.
Have you even cried yet?
I may have not. So
she also breathed, too.
I also owe him $5. Seriously.
I know.
Okay, well, yeah, the check's in the mail. We'll have to pull that out of the offering later on.
Did I just say that?
You did just say
okay.
that.
So, oh, yes, Stella. That's a really good guess. It's not what happened. So here's what happened. My brain inside my head blew up just a little bit.
Just a tiny bit.
And I found that I could not finish a single sentence. So if somebody said to me, what color is the sky? I would say, well, of course the sky is. And I couldn't finish the sentence. And then if somebody said, are you hungry? I'd say, yes, I'd like to. And I couldn't finish the word eat. I physically couldn't finish any sentence. And I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I actually went out to Greg and I said, I think I might need to go to the hospital. I might be having an aneurysm. Like, I wasn't in pain, but it was really scary. And as I was on my way out to talk to him, I asked the Lord, what's happening to me? And I felt God say to me, you know, I blew up your brain. And I'm like, oh, what does that mean? And I said, what does that mean? And he said, I wanted to do this thing. I want to give you the mind of Christ. Have any of you ever heard of the mind of Christ? Have you heard of it?
Yeah, but I don't know what it is.
Right? That is exactly how I felt. I had heard of the mind of Christ, but I had no idea what it meant. And God was telling me, I want to give you the mind of Christ. And I'm like, well, that sounds good. I think that would be a good idea. But I don't know what that is. And I said, am I ill? Do I need to go to the hospital? And I felt like the Lord said, no, you're not ill, and you don't need to go to the hospital. But I'm doing something in your brain because I want to teach you and show you how to think and perceive things like I see things. And I realized that what was necessary for that was for me to not land in the same conclusions that I had my whole life. I needed my brain to be just a little bit interrupted so that I could think new thoughts. Now, have any of you guys, here in the front sections in particular, but parents are allowed to participate as well, have any of you had a problem in your life that you could not solve until all of a sudden you had a light bulb moment and you had an idea and all of a sudden the solution became clear? Has anybody ever had that happen? Tell me, Stella.
So I have OCD and I wash my hands a lot and they really dry and then I used a whole bottle of lotion and then they got better.
Yeah, lotion is a genius idea. I love that. We'll get one more with an idea that solved a problem that you didn't know how to solve. Anyone got one? You do, but you don't want to say it? That does not help us. Okay. How about you, Mr. Greg?
Oh, I don't know. I've been watching out for other people. I've been thinking about my own stuff right here.
You haven't been thinking about your own stuff?
No.
So what I felt like God was doing was giving me a way. Yeah, do you want to say that? Okay, do it quick.
There's this bird that keeps on flying into the window. And it's this guy. It would be a good idea to open the window. I haven't done it yet.
Darby did the exact same thing. Yeah, okay, so here's what happens when you open the door when the bird's flying at you. What happens, Darby? The hummingbird does what?
It flies into the house.
And then you can't get rid of it. Yeah, so don't open the door. Just say it. Think of another idea. Not sure what that is, but think of another idea. So I realized that God was doing something really cool with my brain, and he made me able to think in whole new ways. And as he was helping me think in whole new ways, he wanted to take me back to what relationship with him is all about, what sin is really, and what faith really is. So he said, Ange, I want you to go back to Genesis. Anybody ever heard the story or the account in Genesis? I have no idea where I put my Bible, but it might be back here. Mysteriously, there's a magical bag, just like Mary Poppins. Ta-da! And it has stuff in it. And it's mine. It's my bag. And it has my stuff in it. Anybody read the account of Adam and Eve? So I was thinking to myself, I'm so not interested in reading about Adam and Eve all over again. Because I've read it a lot. But God was saying, I want you to see this differently. I want you to see something about this situation differently. And so I went back to Adam and Eve in the garden, and they saw the fruit. And when they saw that it was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and she ate it, and she gave it to Adam, who was with her at the time. And I was like, I don't understand. What matters? And I felt like God was saying, they ate this fruit because they wanted to become wise. And does anybody know what the name of this tree was? Yes. Go ahead.
Tree of knowledge.
Yeah, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or blessing and calamity. So, Brett, if you would quickly draw a tree from you right here.
Sure.
And put knowledge right across here. What God was starting to show me was that sin was something entirely different than I had ever thought it was. And that changed everything. Because I used to think sin was being disobedient. You know, like when you do something you're not supposed to do. That's what sin is, right? Anybody else had a different definition of what sin is? Go ahead.
It's what you call it when you do bad stuff.
Yeah, when you do bad stuff. Yeah, when you do bad stuff. I thought that sin was when Adam and Eve disobeyed. But God said, what if that wasn't what sin really was? What if sin doesn't have anything to do with disobedience? What if what sin is taking a path that is, or heading in a direction that's different than what God has for you? So let me put it like this. They ate of a tree, and it gave them knowledge. It gave them an experience of what? Good and evil. Can you put in here good and evil? Okay. Now I'm going to try and think of the best way, or the clearest and quickest way to share this. How many of you have ever done something that your parents asked you not to do? Right? Adults, seriously? All right. And how many of you found out that your parents were right and you should have done what they said because something bad happened? Right? So I started to realize, for example, we have a stove that's glass, and if we turn on the temperature and you put your hand on the hot stove and it's glass, it's going to burn your hand. So if I tell you, don't put your hand on the glass, and you put your hand on the glass and it's hot and you burn yourself, did you burn yourself because I told you not to? Or did you burn yourself because the stove was hot? So the consequence of a warning is actually because the nature of the thing that God is warning us against is that it's hot. I used to think that sin was about disobedience. What I was starting to discover was that sin was an agreement with a different source of knowledge. When Adam and Eve ate of this fruit, they took into themselves a perspective that they had never had before. Has anybody ever had a voice that they kind of hear whispering in their head that says negative things? That's what this voice is. So in fact, I'm going to get a volunteer to come up, and I'm going to have... I think that's not the first time that's happened. But... Right? Okay, so I would like, let's see. I'm gonna have, Greg, if you could pass out these to each table. Here's what we're gonna do to wrap up our kids section. I need, Stella's gonna be our human volunteer. Come stand up in the center.
You mean human?
She's my human, she represents all of humanity. Yeah. Now I need someone to represent the dark side.
Jack, you're
okay,
just
so
like me.
Eli is going to represent the dark side. And you're going to be standing right here. You're not going to touch her or mess with her. You're just going to stand here. And then I need someone to represent. Yay! Okay, Ava, you can come.
Oh.
Yay!
All right. Now, on your sticky notes, I need everyone at the tables to help. And you can help also. You can step forward and help kids. Your green sticky sticky notes. Greg, you're going to have to pull them apart so that they can...
Everybody needs green
everybody
and
needs
blue.
Green and blue.
Oh, well, I
everybody
totally messed that up.
Everybody needs green and blue.
Can I have
Everybody needs green and blue. You need two. You need a green and blue.
All
right.
My middle name is shade of blue.
So...
My middle name is shade
of blue. What's your body?
Capri.
I do.
It's also a type of pants.
All right.
Yeah, also city.
Okay, are you ready? Here's what I want you to see. Ava represents the knowledge of goodness, okay? And when you have a goodness perspective, all you hear is good things. In fact, we have a description for it. It's called the fruits of the Spirit. So if it's loving, joyful, peace, kindness, goodness, that's how it's going to feel when it comes from this side, this part of the tree, is it's going to be a good and pleasant experience. So I want you to write one thing on your green sticky note that you feel like you hear in your head about yourself that's good. Right now, write down one thing about yourself.
That's the green sticky
note? That's
the green sticky note.
The green sticky note. It's one good thing you hear in your head about yourself. Put it on the green sticky note.
I don't know what
you're writing on this. Oh, we have a whole, sorry.
We have markers and pins galore over on this table.
Greg, can you put some out?
Ooh.
Can you put them out?
My shoes are green. I love shoes. And my feet and my toes are black.
Now, how many of you
have heard stuff in your head?
I just have dirty.
It's negative. That's the blue sticky note. Thank you for raising your hands over here.
I want you to put something negative that you hear in your head. The blue one is something negative that you hear in your head. The green one is something positive. I only said that about five times. So that's okay. It's okay.
Just never write it on the side. Hands and writing and utensils.
Now, Eli, come stand up.
I'm happy. You too.
Because Adam and Eve, before they ate of this tree, they didn't have any of the blue sticky notes. But when they ate of this tree, in came an experience with both of these. And it felt like something really real. In fact, Adam and Eve's eyes were opened, and they saw that they were naked, and they were what? Ashamed. God was in the garden, and they were afraid for the first time. They looked at each other and there was blank. All of these blue sticky notes got all over Stella for the first time ever. So what I'd like for you to do is come bring, you keep your hands to yourself, your inanimate blue sticky note holder. You're all good, it's good. I want you to bring up all your blue sticky notes and put them on Eli. And I want you to bring up all your green sticky notes and put them.
Oh, dang.
Please don't put them on my face.
Same for me.
Now, his shirt, put them on the shirt, put them on the shoulders.
Don't put it on my face.
You can do it. Yeah, not on the face, on the arms, on the shirt. There you go.
It's not
really sticky. I know, she can hold them if they're not
sticky. No, on the shirt.
Yeah.
On the shirt, Abraham.
Yo,
say that.
Ava.
The tree.
Whoop.
Feel like I have
the tree is falling down.
The leaves are falling.
Hold on. Step back.
Okay. Okay. All right. Grab your seat. And now people are going to stay up here.
Oh, there's so many.
So what started to happen to Adam and Eve? Just stay still.
Covered.
Was that they started to worry what people think of them. They started to feel annoying and controlling and critical. They started to feel condescending about each other, like you're not good enough, and to be afraid, to be controlling, And that maybe you're too smart, or you're not enough, or you're bad, or you're mean, or you're shameful, or not enough, or lost, or scared. And you went on and on that you're crazy or a loser, not good enough again, or that you get too easily annoyed. And all of this perspective that had never been in Stella's emotions came into her emotions for the first time. And Stella didn't know to not agree with them. So mixed with these emotions were also positive emotions. Mixed with them were joy and love, like I love my mom. Nice, you were worth that. Funness, honesty, creativeness, and optimism. Awesome, thank you. Also, I love my mom. Also, good job. Jakari, go ahead and put your blue one over on Eli. Humility and smartness and loyalty and being fabulous and you can do it and positive and creative and friendly and smart and free-spirited and I'm nice and I'm patient. Do any of you at home ever feel like you have a sticky note blue person on one side and a sticky note person on the other side and they're like duking it out, right, as to what you're going to agree with? Because the reason we came in contact with Mr. Blue Sticky Note was not because we disobeyed. It was because the nature of eating of this tree was that this perspective about who we are is death to us. Accepting negative things about who you are is death to you. Not because you disobeyed, it's because it is the nature of this perspective. But there was another tree, and this is not the tree of life. There was another tree in the garden called the tree of life. And does anybody know who is called the tree of life? This is like the basic Jesus question that I'm gonna ask you. Does anybody know who in the Bible might be called the tree of life?
Yeah. God?
Kind of, yes. Yes.
Jesus?
Yes, Jesus. That's the guess. Like, your guesses are Jesus, the Holy Spirit, or God, and you're probably going to get the answer right.
The Holy Spirit?
So, when you eat of a whole nother tree that's called Jesus, it allows you to turn your back on this perspective and embrace this perspective and actually become this person that God sees when he looks at you. So it is not about doing the right thing. It's about knowing that the voice in your head, which one you should listen to. So kids, when you hear a negative voice inside your head, what are you going to say to it next time?
Green.
No.
Bye-bye.
You're going to say, no, thank you. Because you know what? Negative things don't get to tell me about myself anymore. What gets to tell us about ourselves? Messages that have love and joy and peace and kindness. Because will God talk to us about difficult things in a really good way? Yes. Because is God a bully?
No.
No.
Maybe.
Does he make us feel super bad about ourselves? No. In fact, it says it is his kindness that restores us to relationship with him. It's his kindness. Yay! So let's give our humanity and our goodness and our souls a huge round of applause. And kids, you are now released to go with Miss Christy and Miss Jill. So, just leave them. You're good. Just leave them. It's all good. I like them up here.
I'm just going to walk away.
All right. It's 11 and up can stay in here. Okay, so everyone who was displaced on their seat can like move back to their seat, so we're not like so far apart. If you want to move, if you don't, you don't have to. Haven't ever done that in a multi-age group. Ah. Right? Yay! Trying to figure out how do we do this? Because what I felt like God was showing me really for the first time was that when Adam and Eve ate of this fruit, the word that's used was that they something that produces fruit in its own kind entered them. It's the same word that you use when you conceive a child. So something that bears fruit after its own kind became a part of humanity. And I believe that what became a part of humanity is a perspective about ourselves that is death to us. And when we agree with that perspective, the result of that agreement is sin. Sin isn't about disobeying God. Because everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What does that mean? It means everybody has accepted a perspective that is lower than God's glory. And does anybody know a better word for God's glory? Because that's so confusing. Like, we don't use that word very often, like in regular language. The best definition for glory in English is goodness. So everybody has accepted a perspective that is less than God and found themselves in a territory that is less than his goodness. Isn't that like, it's kind of, I was kind of astonished. Like, for example, if you tell your kid not to run out into the street, right, because it's dangerous, and they do it anyway, and they get hit by a car, did they get hit by a car because you told them not to, or did they get hit by a car because the nature of the street is that it's dangerous? This changes the way that we relate to God. Because I was always taught that sin and the issue that happens in sin is a matter of disobedience. But I am perceiving that scripture along these lines is very clear. It's not about disobedience. Disobedience is the fruit of an agreement with evil. So our behavior isn't the problem. It's an agreement that's the problem. Because has anybody tried to solve the behavior by going after the behavior? And how successful have we been with that? We're not. It's because behavior isn't the problem. It's the agreement that's the problem. And it's that perspective that is death to us. So I'm going to have you put sin here, hon.
Gotcha.
And you know what to do. And faith. Oh, you can leave that there.
It's too late.
Now. Okay, it's too late. You know what you're doing anyway. I love you so much. Who knew that we would ever do, like, whiteboard stuff with you writing? I mean, like, right? Who ever thought we would ever be in this moment right now?
Uh-huh.
So, as the Lord was wanting to utterly convince me, because I kept having behaviors. We were having behaviors in our marriage. We were having behaviors with our kids. And every time we focused on the behavior, guess what happened? It got worse. So every time I told my Abraham that he was whining and fussing, and you know, he was getting more bonded to that identity. Because I kept going after the behavior. But if I instead saw a perspective of who Abraham really is, and called out who he really is, he was starting to then come into an agreement with who he really is, which automatically overcame the behavior. I spent all of my Christian life going after negative behaviors, confessing my sins, and asking God to forgive me, and it didn't ever make my life much different. When he started to show me, Ange, the root of your life all day, every day, is who are you going to agree with? Are you going to agree with a perspective that is against you, that is going to tell you that you're worthless, incapable, unable? Are you going to agree with a perspective that is against you? Or are you going to agree with who I say that you are and watch me prove to you that that's who I made you to be? And that's how every relationship and everything I have death on me. I have nature on me. You're seeing my car stand up. And so the Lord was starting to show me that sin isn't about our behavior, it's about our agreement. And that all of our behaviors are really the result of an agreement. And faith is really not about believing something, it is about an agreement with God. That changes everything. Because how many of us have believed for a gazillion things and they don't happen? We believe for things, believe for things, believe for things, and they don't happen. Because belief is not the same as faith. Faith is an agreement with God about what he's already doing. In fact, Jesus made this very clear. He says, I only do what? What my Father's doing. I only operate in what God's, I only operate in agreement with God. And that is faith. Because when we come into agreement with what he's doing, it manifests. It happens. When we come into agreement with a dark perspective, it manifests. It happens. Because why? Because we're co-creative beings. God made us to be like him, where what we speak, he says, your words are life or death, right? And he says, choose life. Because what we agree with is what manifests in our life. So if we keep agreeing that our spouse has an alcohol problem, or an anger problem, or a whatever problem, or we keep agreeing that our friend has a certain problem, or a parent has a certain problem, that agreement is our co-creative power locking them into it. And our agreement with God, seeing what he has to say instead, not just believing for it, actually letting him tell us what he's saying about a person, causes their atmosphere to shift and them to come actually into agreement with him about themselves. You want to comment on that?
I'm just shaking vigorously.
Shaking vigorously. It's one of the things that Greg and I started to discover because when Greg and I were dealing with anger in our home, I was becoming angry. I, yes, did break a chair against a bookcase. I mean, it almost broke the bookcase. Greg was dealing with anger, and I was like, and we're in a spiral downward. And I don't know how to get out of this spiral other than to get out of this house. And the Lord started to show me, and this isn't about trying to fix the behavior. This isn't about trying to be better. This isn't about continuing to confess. This is about seeing what the root issue is. And what it is that you are so angry because you are seeing things from a perspective where you are locked in, boxed in, and there is no hope. But if you start to see what I say about you, I made you able to overcome anger. So what he started to show me was Greg and me. He started to show me, this was just so fun. I would see every once in a while, occasionally, I mean, Greg is like super patient and super gentle and super kind. And the guy like cries at like almost every commercial that's on the planet. So
love it.
Yeah. He's my guy. But the one thing that he struggled with was feeling angry and not knowing how to control it. And so he would stuff it until it exploded, like some of us do. And when
I
that explosion.
Cry during John Wayne war movies.
And The Voice, and Anne of Green Gables, and this, and just talking to Julie setting up tables today. But anyway. So this is my tender-hearted man, you know, who's caught being utterly convinced that he's something that he's not. And the Lord started to show me, while I'm watching him be really angry, the Lord was going, that's not really him. That's not really him. That behavior is something different. He is a man of goodness and gentleness and kindness and peace. This other thing is trying to trick him into thinking that he is angry and stop and an ASS. So. Yeah.
So no matter.
Right, I know. Yes, I've said that word. Yeah. So I could then make a decision to agree with what I saw in front of me, which was true. Or I can make a decision to agree with the truth. And this decision is an enabling by the Holy Spirit to make you able to agree with what God says, even when it's not manifesting in front of you. And this is what changed my life. So
and that gets back, this whole truth versus true gets back to what God envisioned when he saw, when he created us before whatever, you know, before the beginnings
before
of everything.
Before the beginnings of the world.
And he imagined me, you know,
That's the truth
about each of us.
Yeah. And coming into agreement with him is the currency of the kingdom here on earth. Because that is what changes everything, is our agreement with God shifts it. So one of the, this was a powerful thing that happened in our lives. I remember I was sharing this with Greg, and Greg's like, I don't think so. I mean, right? I mean, you were like, this is a bunch of baloney. This is not a spiritual issue. This is, you know, this is just who I am. The best predictor of future behavior is
past behavior.
Right. So what you see is what you get, and this is the best we're going to have. And I remember the Lord just going, yeah, no, that's not who I made him to be. So if that's not who I made him to be, that's not who he is. So something is putting pressure on him to act in a way that's not his true self. So I started to only agree with God, even when he was behaving in other ways. And one of the fun experiences was, and the Lord makes you able to see what he's saying in the middle of really difficult situations. So one of ours was one of the rare times when Greg was really losing it and totally yelling at me. It rarely happened, and it wasn't the time where I threw the chair, so, you know. There's also that. But anyway, this was the cool experience. And I'm standing there, and he's really yelling at me, and I can tell that he's like holding himself back from like being physically violent. And he's holding himself back from that. And I am so hurt, I am so angry, I am so wounded, and I'm like, okay, Lord, make me able to see him the way you see him. Because right now, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. And so you stand right here on this line asking the Holy Spirit to make you able. Because you cannot try this. You cannot work your way into it. You cannot perform your way into this. This is what Jesus died for. Jesus died so that we would be made able to agree with God and not agree with this perspective that has sown itself into our lives, that it is a part of us before we're even born. The reason we're born into sin is not we're born into disobedience. We're born into a perspective that is death to us about ourselves. So I remember looking at him, and the Lord said, you know, Greg loves French kissing.
I'm not bringing that up.
I am.
It's not appropriate.
It's not appropriate.
No.
It's okay.
It's just his kissing. It's just good kissing. So.
You have a kid.
It's okay.
All right.
Parents are saying it's okay. You're the only one. I'm sorry. You're the only parent who's telling me it's okay.
So I was like,
are you kidding me? He like, why would you bring that up now? Like, I'm not sure that I could be married for 24 more hours. What does that have to do with anything? And he goes, yeah, but he really loves it. He really loves that. He loves that. Wouldn't it be so fun to do that right now? And I'm like, no, that doesn't even make any sense. Why? And he goes, I just want him to know how much I love him in the presence of this thing. I need him to know how much he is loved in the presence of this thing.
That's good.
Because then he will see that he is not this thing. So I'm like, okay, you're gonna have to make me able to do this, because I'm not sure I'm ever touching him for the rest of my life. And within a moment, and this is my phrase, I always say, I double dog dare you. I double dog, right? I go straight to the double dog dare. I double dog dare you to make me able to French kiss him. And all of a sudden, within 20 seconds, he's still yelling, and I'm like, I could do this. I could so do this. I'm so not mad anymore. Now, I'm not like all in a romantic mood, don't get me wrong, but I could do this. I'm like, that is the craziest thing in the whole world. So I'm looking at him, and he is like mad. And I'm going, how am I gonna French kiss him? He's so mad. Like, I think he could like lose it, like really lose it and start throwing things right now. And I'm like, well, show me how to do this. And the Holy Spirit went, well, just put your hands up here and just tell him just a minute. And so I did. And it was fun, wasn't it? I mean, it was such, do you even remember this much? He just tries to block it out. So.
I'm not reenacting this.
I'm not reenacting this. But he's so mad. And so the Holy Spirit just goes, well, just tell him that you need him to stop for just a minute. There's something you need to do. So I did. I said, just a minute. I said, I need to interrupt you. Just stop for a minute. There's something I need to do. And he's like, what? And I'm like, just give me a minute. And then I reach up and I kiss him. And then I, you know, French kissed him. And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I know, just give me a moment. Just give me, I know where you're really upset and I care about what's going on. I really care about, I know. Isn't this like church gotten so good? So good! This whole multi-generational thing is awful. Okay, she's like, she loves my story. We do, but not this one.
The shock and horror.
So finally he like surrenders to the kiss. And I'm like, wow, we're actually doing this. And I felt that presence that had been beating me up my whole life, not just through bread, but through every man who had ever made me feel small and powerless and belittled. That thing that had used men to make me feel like nothing, I walked right into its space and I had the upper hand because I was calm and at peace and I had an agreement with God. And while we were kissing, I heard something hit the floor and crash and break. And I was like, wow, I mean, it was a good kiss, but I didn't think it was like that good of a kiss that we knocked something off the counter. And so when we stepped back, I looked around and there was nothing on the floor. But I had heard something crash. And something had crashed. And it was a turning point for us, which opened up the door for us to have another experience where we were getting in the car to drive to Colorado, which is a 14-hour drive, and that presence was pushing on our lives, on both of us. By the way, that is one thing I will tell you, is that that scenario of everybody getting pressed on, so what would happen is, Greg would get pressed on to be angry and mad. I would be pressed on to be what? What do you think? Judgment. To have judgment. How, what?
Bitter,
angry, grow up, to have all this. And so we would both be pressed. In fact, sometimes I started to become aware that I would be pressed to have judgment about him before he even walked in the door. And so he would walk into an atmosphere of judgment, and then that violent thing would attack him and want us to beat each other up. And I was starting to realize this is what ruins marriages. This pressure pushing on people is what ruins marriages, because then people just act out of this perspective that they don't know to disagree with. Because if you think it and you feel it, you think it's yours. And you own it. Instead of saying, you know what? I wasn't made with anger. I wasn't made with hopelessness. I wasn't made with despair. So I'm going to find out who I am instead. We just go with it. We just go with it. And then we try to solve it and fix it. And the more we try to solve it and fix it, the more we find ourselves in quicksand, unable to get out of it. Because the more we deal with it, that's why Jesus said, and Paul had the revelation, we are dead to sin and alive to Christ. I am dead to that perspective. The more I play with it, the more it sucks me in. So it cannot have any say in my life. It doesn't convict me. It doesn't help me. It doesn't mark the path of what I need to do better. Negativity does not get to have a say anymore. So that thing was pushing on us, and I'm like, I can't be in a car for 14 hours going to Colorado with that presence, so you need to go have a timeout. I need to have a timeout. We both need to, like, have a timeout. And Greg came back out of the bedroom, like, I don't know, not 20 minutes later. I was kind of sitting in the car and just going.
It wasn't that long.
He came out, he was white as a sheet, which is whiter than he already is. And and his eyes were super big. And I was like, what happened? And do you want to?
I don't remember what I said, but you can say it, but I know the feeling I had.
The feeling was just tell.
Just yeah. That I just realized that this was not me, this force.
Yeah. I said, what happened? He goes, I think I realized for the first time that this anger isn't actually me. And that's when everything changed. That's when everything changed. We now were learning how to disagree with this and agree with this and watch our agreement manifest. Isn't that so good? That's why this is my like favorite message of the, like, this changed everything. It changed parent-child relationships. It changed our parenting, because instead of now calling our kids out on their negative behavior, we were learning how to agree with God. And so what God told us about Greg was that, and would you put that up here?
Sure.
What the Lord told me about Greg was, he goes, look up his name. And I'm like, okay, because I said, I need something to hold on to. Because again, what people tend to do is they tend to go to Bible promises. Let me go grab a promise out of the Bible, and I'm going to believe on that. Well, you know what? If you happen to be in agreement with God, it will work. But if you're not in agreement with God, guess what? It doesn't work. So you can't figure out why is it 50-50 or more like 40, you know, 60. Do I have success when I'm claiming the promises of God? Because God won't let it become a religion. Your relationship is not with a promise, and your relationship is not with a book. Your relationship is with Him. This will point the direction, but this is not your relationship. Your relationship has to be with Him, not with an idea or a promise. So you have to find out what He's saying. And so he said that Greg was a watchman on the wall.
I'm going to put that up there.
Yeah, put a watchman. And so what a watchman is a guy who stands on the wall for a whole people group, and he guards that the bad guys can't come in and attack. That's what a watchman on the wall does. So guess what anger was doing to him? It was trying to convince him that he's the bad guy. Not only is he incapable of protecting a whole people group, he's the bad guy. And how can you be a watchman on the wall if you think that you're the angry bully? You can't protect any group of people when you're convinced of that. I discovered that every negative thing in our lives is an indicator to our true identity. So that's the good news of the gospel, is that every negative thing is an indicator of who we really are in Christ. And we were made to overcome everything that is being said about us that we have agreed with and now partner with and behave like. What? That's so crazy. So I would love to go on and on because we have like a million stories, but I'll finish with this one. I think all these sticky notes are so fun and so totally didn't think that one through. So note to self. I don't know.
Sticky note to self.
Right, sticky note to genius. Both of you, genius right there. Darby, I don't even know if Darby remembers this, but we were just living this life where we were learning how to agree with God about each other. We were just learning how to do this. It wasn't something we were teaching our kids. We were just living a simple life, learning how to agree with God in all circumstances. And one time, Greg was trying to fix the vacuum, and he's usually really good at fixing things, but this was ticking him off, so he was using some colorful language and starting to get really, really angry. And yeah.
SpongeBob refers to it as sentence enhancers.
Exactly. Sentence enhancers. Mood enhancers. And normally, Darby would like run for the hills, and I would run for the hills because nobody wants to be around when that thing's happening. But Darby had apparently seen us enough that she walked up to him, climbed up on his lap. She was, like 7 at the time, I'm thinking. She took his face in her hands, just like this, and she says, "Now, Daddy." So she's like 2 inches. She goes, "Now, Daddy, don't forget, you are gentle, you are patient, you are kind, and you can fix anything." And Greg just kind of leaned back against the wall because that thing that had been beating up the people in our house could not stand up to a 7-year-old who had an agreement with God. And that is our royal identity with God. That is how we are kings and queens and rule the earth, is that our agreement with God overcomes every evil thing. Okay, so yay! I want to go on. What we will do for those of you who are going to make it next weekend and you're not going for vacation is we will do the part 2 to this message. So for those of you who want to hear, and then we will be expanding this summer on this foundation on grace. Because once you start to understand. And here's what you can do. If you're like, is this true? Is sin really agreement? And by the way, I didn't get this from a book, so I don't know that you're going to find it anywhere else. Agreement with the enemy, agreement with God. If you do, I don't know if I even want to know that somebody else wrote this, but yeah, I probably do, so let me know. But here's what you can do. Open up your Bible and exchange every word that is faith with agreement with God and see if it doesn't rock your world. Exchange, or faith, and exchange sin with agreement with Satan or agreement with evil, and see if it doesn't change the way you read all of Scripture. It just will open up the understanding in such a powerful way, and it is so freeing. Once you start to realize We are not the problem. It is the perspective that we have had that we were born into. And that is what that boy gave me, was the ability to have a new perspective. And you'll give those out. I realized, some of you know that I was, and I think we're gonna get kids here in just a second, that I was a host for the shopping networks for about 5 years. And so, yes, I sold lots of stuff for value pay and whatnot. And I used to think, like, maybe, you know, I was like the queen of the show because, you know, I'm like the talent and I'm like drive the whole thing and I make all these decisions. But I did discover that I'm not like in charge of the show. The cameraman was in charge of the show, because whatever camera they chose to have is the view that people had at home. So whether it was close up, far away, or like one time I actually set fire to the set. That was genius. I'll tell you about it sometime. And they, you know, moved to a still. So you just set fire to the set and then they moved to a still, but you can still hear the thing like burning up. And I'm like laughing and I'm going, really, guys? Like, you're not gonna, this is good television. I mean, we can really sell some stuff once we put this fire out. So just like come back to us, it'll all be okay. So I learned that the lens that you're looking through controls everything. And I think that the same thing is true in our life. Sin is like a lens. It's how we see everything. And it can lead us to a path that destroys us. Or we can agree with God, and that is a lens that brings life. And it changes the way you see everything, including yourself. Yes, Darby? What? When did I start talking normally?
After God blew up your brain.
What I found was that my conclusions were about one neural synapse away. So if I tried to come to my old conclusions, I could get to them. So about 3 days after I couldn't complete any of my sentences, I was able to start completing sentences, but I didn't want to, because I found that if I allowed myself to stay in a place of unconclusion, God wanted to show me a whole new way. And that's why my brain was blown up, because I was tied to every conclusion that I had been given my entire life. I was tied to this. We think things about people and about ourselves that we're not even aware of. We never even think about it, right? It's just how you live your life. Your mom is this way because whatever. Your husband does whatever. That person cut you off because what? You are constantly in a place of agreement with negativity all the time, right? I mean, really, let's be honest. And that's why God says we become transformed, right? We become transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. Now, I can't say that without saying one other thing, which is, who renews our mind? Because so far, everybody thinks that we do. They're like, you need to renew your mind. I'm like, that is not scriptural at all. We can't renew our mind. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit renews our mind. The first time I really became fully aware of this, I know kids, we should probably go grab kids. Eli, would you go grab kids? Do you mind? One of the times I became aware of this was when I was singing, he is jealous for me, right? He loves like a hurricane, I am a tree, bending beneath the weight of this wind and mercy. And all of the sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And I realize that's what David did through every psalm. He fought through this perspective and came into a better perspective. And that, David, his legacy was wisdom. And when Solomon asked for wisdom, anybody know what that word actually means? Those of you who haven't heard it before? It means the ability to separate light and dark. That's wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to know what's dark and to know what light is and to not confuse the two. Isn't that so great? So, comments. You have your evaluation. I would love, and I know I kind of talked a little longer, but I get so excited about it, and then I just kind of get carried away. So tell me what your aha moment was. Just share with us, what was the thing that stuck out to you the most?
I
in tonight's thing. Go ahead, Lindsay.
I think when you feel deficient in something, I need more love, more joy, more peace, more patience. And it's the struggle to always remember you are full of all of those things. That's,
yes.
It keeps you busy, but when you already have the fullness of Christ.
Yeah, that's one of the things. Thanks, Lynn, for bringing that up. It's one of the conversations we've had a lot. I grew up going, we always need to get fed. We're really incapable vessels, so we always need to be filled up. We always need more of something, and we're always lacking. But that is not God's perspective. In fact, he says, if you meet Jesus, you are, what? Thirsty and hunger no more. So I started to discover that the Lord's like, you are complete already in Christ. You are completed in Christ. When were you completed in Christ? Anyone want to? When were you completed in Christ? Yeah, before you were born. You're completed in Christ before you were born. What does Christ make possible? That you wake and awaken to that completion. That's what salvation, that's what the good news of the gospel is. It's not that you can have completion and that completeness and that fullness. It's that you already are in Christ. God already sees us that way. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit are what make it possible for us to see it and awaken to that reality. So we're not trying to get to something. We're actually awakening from a reality that's already done and held. So good.
So, well, what I was going to say is, so I spend every day going, okay, I'm complete. I'm complete. Why isn't anything changing? I'm complete. And this was the piece. It's you're complete and you get to do something with that completeness.
You get to build the agreement with your...
the agreement, and that's the piece that I kept going, what's not
right,
perfect.
What's not working? Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's so good. Thanks, Lindsay. Okay, I won't comment on everyone's. Go ahead.
The thing that I got to meet was that the words of who we are, the words of who we are and what God says about us, and also like if we're hearing from the Lord, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Yep.
Like, that didn't click. Like, it makes sense that, like, if the Lord is going to tell something about me that, like, I would feel loved and that I would, you know, people would be loved. But, like, all of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
That clicked.
Yay! Anyone else?
Yeah.
Oh.
Monet.
I
really liked when you said that our problems can be solved when you stop saying they're problems. Like, you have a problem, you have a problem, you have a problem, I have a problem. Well, if you stop saying that you have a problem and start saying what's good about you, more of that will come.
Yes, yes. Yeah, right? Okay. How many of us, our lives would be completely changed if we learned that at that age ourselves? Right? Oh, so good. Okay, one more.
Not more.
Oh, okay. Oh. Right? Yes, Christy.
Talking about shame, and he said we were never supposed to feel shame. That's not how God created us, and that just really related to this, how we're never supposed to feel anger or any of these negative emotions, and so that really helped that piece of that message kind of come here as well, and speaking truth over, I have been speaking truth over my kids more often now, not myself. So when I get mad, start saying I'm patient instead of saying asking God for more patience because he's given it to me, but I still have this agreement over here with the enemy.
Yeah. I started to discover that God wanted to prove to me who he made me to be. He didn't want to make me be who he already made me to be. He wanted to prove to me that I was patience. He didn't want to give me patience. Yeah, Bianca.
I see color around people, and I see kind of extra
cool tonight. I see pink around Angela in service. I see yellow when she's in her mental. But tonight, when you were talking about this particular platform, an entire cloud of green went around you, and not just you, but Greg as well. So both energy fields were encompassed, and it just proved that that's the formula to healing.
Oh.
So I thought that was very symbolic.
Thank you.
And when you see this, you'll see the mat.
Oh, yay. 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 So this is why we are so passionate about making a space for every person who wants to learn how to hear God better. Because we believe that the real victorious Christian life is found in learning how to discern the voice of God and agree with Him, and to learn how to disagree with any other voice. And so that's really like why we're here. I had the coolest thing happen. I'll tell you guys, hey kids, I was hiking and I was on my phone hiking. Totally don't do that. That's not like, you should never ever do that. It's number one, it's like super rude, just letting you know. But I was at the bottom of the mountain. Miss Lindsay called me. I was like, oh, I want to return her call. You know, so I took her call and I was talking and I said to her, I am so tired of people thinking that the good news of the gospel is the forgiveness of sins. Because I don't know if you know that, but that's not the good. Do you know that everybody's sins were already, like in the Jewish community, sins were already taken care of in the sacrificial system. So the good news of the gospel is not, hey, you're forgiven. Did you know that? Like, it's so crazy, right? The good news that Paul outlines and all the other apostles outline. And so I'm saying this. I said to Lindsay, I said, I'm just so tired of everybody thinking like this is the end game. The end game is we're forgiven of our sins. And I'm like, that's not the end game. That's the beginning. That understanding is the beginning. And so I said this to Lindsay, and all of a sudden I realized I was this close with another woman on the mountain. Like, she was just right there. And I was like, I know, that's exactly what I did. I was like, oh, I'm really sorry. I'm on the phone, I'm totally rude. And I just did like religious stuff. And you're probably like super like, you're such a weird lady. And she says to me, what is the good news of the gospel? And I was like, I'm really sorry I was talking. She goes, no, seriously, what is the good news of the gospel? And I was like all riled up already anyway. So I said, the good news of the gospel is that we are magnificent and we were made to be just like Jesus. And He came so that we could awaken to our true identity. And she, who was standing right next to me, do you know, she said, let me show you. She goes, that's right. And she hiked up the mountain, and I was like, oh, Lindsay, that was the coolest thing, you know, and I kept hiking down. It wasn't until, right, because you heard this weird thing happening. Right? So I get down the mountain, all of a sudden I'm like, was that a real person? Was that an angel? Because I felt the weight of heaven, like on that, like when she goes, that's right. And by the way, like nobody thinks that's right. I mean, just so you know, like there's not a lot of books that are saying like, this is the thing. So I'm like, was that a real person? Was that, and she had beautiful blonde hair and these piercing blue eyes and this blue top that like made her eyes just like glow. And I was like, oh man, you know, if she was a real person, I totally should have gotten her phone number and said, come be with us, because like, there's more peaks on the planet, you know? Like, because we're a rare breed, right? Who start to understand this. And so I was so bummed that I didn't get her information. And then I got a Facebook message, a private message on Facebook from this gal, and her name is Treasure, go figure. You know Treasure? Ah! Okay, so Treasure goes, hey, were you on Black Mountain talking about the good news of the gospel? And I was like, yes, I was, and you're real. And I'm a little disappointed, but I'm super excited that you're real. And she goes, we met once. And I'm like, we met where? And she's like, at Saddle Creek Coffee. You know, we said hello, and you know, we were passing each other. And somehow she found who I was, and Facebook messaged me, and she goes,
she lives right by you.
Really? Let's TP your house tonight. Okay.